B-Pod Studios.
Comic books, video games, anime, sci-fi. If you've been made fun of for it, we're probably going to talk about it.
One question. Is it too late to change the name?
Nerd Radio starts now.
Welcome to another week in Nerd Radio, wherever you get your podcast, all over the internet as well, on your social media, Nerd Radio 101. My name is Chuck Bean. I'm joined, as always, by James.
Hello.
And Mr. Albeck.
Yes.
Another week for us, and a busy week. Somewhat busy
it
week.
It is.
Lots of news.
Oh, okay.
Lots of news.
Wow. I got good busy. All
someone's
right.
busy.
Yeah, no, we've got,
I'm not writing any news.
We got video game news to talk about. We got some comic book stuff going on this week. Mm-hmm. We've got some stuff going on at the movie theater, and we will be checking in with Kyle later on tonight and talking about the newest Magic the Gathering set.
All right.
So where would you guys like to start this week?
Oh, I don't have any plan at all.
All right. Well, let's talk about this, because this was a thing over the weekend that I'm sure you guys saw on social media. A high school did a play of the movie Aliens. Did either of you guys
see
anything
about this?
You know
what? I saw like a headline on like the side of a website, but I didn't click it. Like what I was working on at the moment, I was like, I don't have time to look at this.
Yeah.
But I saw, it looked like a couple of the props look pretty, actually.
They're pretty amazing.
It's like when I saw the story about the PS5 being totally backwards compatible. I was like, oh, cool. And then I couldn't find it again.
Sure.
And I just came in here with this myth. Guys, I saw a thing on the internet.
There were a couple of videos that somebody had taken on social media. One of them was of the alien itself, the xenomorph, walking around in the xenomorph costume. Looks pretty great.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And then they also did like the face hugger scene.
Yeah, I saw the face hugger. They had pictures of the face hugger on the website I was on, but I didn't see the xenomorph itself. That's impressive. It reminds me of Bob's Burgers. Okay. They do like the Die Hard like play.
Right. Well, I'm sure that might be where they got the idea. It's the North Bergen High School Drama Club in North Bergen, New Jersey, did this play. And you know, a lot of people just excited about the idea.
No, I love it.
We were all in high school. We all remember the Drama Club doing plays, and it was always something.
Was Charlie Brown or... Yeah.
It was always something like Arsenic and Old Lace or, you know, Midsummer's Night Dream, something you're like, whatever.
Yeah, the one, Franklin, my dear, I don't give a damn.
Gone with the Wind.
Yeah, Gone with the Wind was, I think, what my high school did.
Right.
It was all lame stuff.
But, can you imagine your high school play for that season is Die Hard?
Yeah, I would show up.
Right.
Yeah. I would come watch and support the drama club instead of calling them names and whatever else I was doing and saying about them back then.
What kind of movies would either of you guys, can you think of off the top of your head that you're like, man, that would have been amazing if back in high school, like I would have went out and tried out to be in the play if they would have done this movie, because I love it so much.
What would have made me try out in the play? None. None
zero?
Nothing. No.
Yeah, I probably wouldn't try out either, only because I was such a loser in high school. Like,
I know, you were talking about making fun of the drama nerds.
Yeah,
I'm
going like,
look at you got friends up there. How did you do that? I don't know.
Yeah, that is funny, but I look back at it, I'm like, those kids were cooler than me.
Yeah, like way cooler.
They probably have way more friends. They got way more going for them nowadays than what I do. It's me and the dog and my girlfriend and occasionally some coworkers. You know, that's my whole tribe compared to making fun of the drama kids who still hang out. They have good things to post about on social media. Me,
see,
I'm just like,
apparently I was the outlier in this particular group, because I wasn't in any place, but I had plenty of friends that were in the drama club.
Yeah. Well,
so because if they'd have made Back to the Future, the school play in the spring play or something like that. Yes. I'll be anybody. I don't care. I'll be Doc Brown.
Yeah.
I'll be Biff.
You just want to be involved.
Oh, Biff would be fun.
I'd love to see you as Biff.
I don't think I'm not big enough to be Biff.
Good going, butthead. Why don't you make like a tree and get out of here, McFly? Yeah, what about who was the principal? That would be fun.
I can't remember his name.
Bunch of slackers.
You're a slacker,
that's
McFly.
Who I want to be the principal.
Yeah. Yeah, Back to the Future would have been good.
That would have been amazing. Ghostbusters.
Ghostbusters have been great. Ninja Turtles. Even Power Rangers. But I don't know if they had any movies out at the time. It might have been just like made for TV movies. But...
Right. Can you imagine like a 10, 20 years from now when the high school kids are like, hey, can we do Avengers as our high school play?
Oh, man, that's going to be sweet.
That's going to be pretty fun.
Yeah.
I can't wait to
see kids will have fun with that.
Yeah, I can't wait to see the social media.
It bankrupts the school.
Yeah. That's the thing, too, is that like apparently the teacher that puts this all on kind of like bankrolls the whole thing himself.
Oh, that's cool.
Not that he has the money to, but like figures out how
fundraising and stuff.
Yeah, fundraising and do it yourself kind of mentality.
See, that's the Kickstarter
to put this stuff together.
Yeah.
Oh, are you kidding me? Yeah. Hey, like, my local high school is doing Ghostbusters the Play. Can you throw us some cash?
I'd
hell
like,
yeah.
Here is $50.
Right.
Make sure you use it to get some movie authentic quality props.
And that was one of the things, too, with like the Xenomorph scene. Like, she says the flamethrower, and there's not actual flames coming out of the flamethrower. So.
Oh, tell me it's like a leaf blower. It's like a leaf blower with a bunch of like red and orange.
That
would
have
like,
been a great idea.
Yeah. Like,
yeah, no, from the looks of it, they were just like imagining. Like,
I'm
going to
put on a play now. Like, yeah. I want to put on some sort of a weird play.
Oh my God,
a live action like show in a park or something. Like,
yeah.
The Nerd Radio Play coming soon.
Yeah, the three man show.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to do Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, so we got to have like a doll play like Leonardo.
It's going to be like Oklahoma. Let's put on a play.
Yeah. Just me in a man thong and cowboy boots.
Is that your demand for the?
No, that's just what I wear on the weekends.
Oh,
so.
All right. Yeah. Fair
it
enough.
It doesn't matter what the play is. That's going to be his wardrobe.
Yes. The king and I am the king.
The king and I. In cowboy boots.
All right. Well, let's talk about the movies this weekend. Jordan Peele's Us. Released and did a bunch of money. It was, I guess, his last movie, Get Out, was supposed to be like one of the most successful movies of 2017.
Yeah.
But a lot of people saying 70 million, I think, in North America they did for this, which, you know, it's a horror movie, and horror movies typically don't sell, they say, but everyone turning out to see this particular one. I know you and James had a conversation when they announced The Twilight Zone.
Yeah, no, we were just getting ready for the show in the morning one day, and James was just kind of like, just threw out there out of nowhere, just like, man, like, when did Jordan Peele become like the horror guy?
He's like the guy you go to for suspense and horror now, when he was doing sketch comedy with Anthony Michael Key?
I think it's Key, yeah.
Just Key, whatever, the other guy. Keegan Michael?
He's the one from
the guy from here. I know, it's so embarrassing.
We can't remember. Yeah.
I'm sorry, I enjoy both your guys' comedy.
Keegan Michael Key?
Yeah, on the off chance that you listen to this podcast, I apologize.
We're very apologetic.
Does not listen to this podcast.
I know, he listens to a different show.
I knew a name.
But yeah. That actually leads me to a movie I watched over the weekend. Long-time listeners of the show remember back around the beginning.
I was going to say, before you move on real quick, did anyone see any like fan reviews on that Us movie? Because I know the critics kind of tore it apart a little bit.
I haven't heard anything about it. I saw it. I thought it looked like scary. I was going to go see it.
Yeah.
But yeah. I was just curious because I saw
people on Twitter saying that it's more of a monster movie than like a like slasher movie kind of horror. So it's in that vein. And the monster is apparently pretty great.
Yeah.
It's like a doppelgangers.
Okay.
They can take on your appearance.
Yeah, because I heard some, like I said, not positive reviews, but I was curious because the other one was so big and so successful. I think one of the people who reviewed it negatively was that local news guy that goes to all the things.
Oh, the one that I'm a big fan of?
Yeah, the one he usually hides himself
actually,
when he goes.
He did give it a negative review, and I was like, typical. You would give that a negative review. Typical. But he loved the next dramatic one that had something to do with AIDS or whatever. He was in love with that one. I was like, oh.
But
you're
going to
love the dramatic AIDS movie, but you're going to hate the Jordan Peele.
Heard it get dogged down a little bit, so I was just curious if we had heard anything different, you know?
Yeah, people that had come back from, like, a friend of mine does a horror podcast, actually, and I know he went and saw it over the weekend, and he was a big fan. He thought it was pretty cool.
Just curious. I'm not a horror guy. I'm probably not going to see it anyway. Yeah.
Right.
That's awesome, though, for Jordan Peele, though, to make the transition from sketch comedy to, you know, some semi-funny bit roles to doing a couple full-length comedy movies to now he's the go-to guy for like modern
and I am really stoked about the new Twilight Zone, which starts April 1st.
So
Monday coming up here. So I'll be checking that out.
Whatchamacallit? The guy from, is it Kamal? Not Kamal. I'm going to get his name wrong. The guy, he's from
Harold
Silicon
Kumar?
Valley.
Oh, Kumail Nanjiani.
Kumail, yes. I knew it was Kumail. Yeah. Sorry, if you listen to the podcast, I'm sorry, I don't have your name right.
Well, I always get him mixed up.
We can't
and,
get any names right.
His first name is similar to the Indian from Big Bang Theory, what's his name?
I don't know.
Kunal Nair or something, and then it's Kumail Nanjiani. They have very similar first names. One's Indian, one's Pakistani. So it's like, I get them all mixed up.
I'm trying to think how else I would describe that guy to other people, because I know I've talked about him before.
Yeah.
And let's just be the guy, the Silicon Valley guy, but I would probably quote something he says. And that kind of gives away.
Yeah, and they'd be like, it's
about
that guy.
Yeah.
Kumail's hilarious. He's a great comedian.
A movie we're looking forward to coming out is Shazam. Yeah. And over the weekend, the critic reviews rated it on Rotten Tomatoes. I think it was like at 97%, 93%.
Did you make it to Shazam? Or was
No, I don't. I don't get to see that till like next week.
Yeah, somehow
I don't get
Dave
to see it
till
the week. I know when he said he went, and Dave Hunter got to see it last weekend, like probably with the critics or whatever.
Right.
He said it was good. He enjoyed it.
Yeah.
And that's coming from a guy who's like just, you know, average when it comes to superhero movies. So
yeah,
if he enjoyed it, I feel like it's probably going
to
be
better. He's interested, but that doesn't need to feel like he rushes out to get him.
Yeah,
to
like
him,
he's
you know,
the type of a viewer that the superhero movies needs to do some work to grab the attention of. And so if he thought it was good, I have higher expectations for it now.
Yeah, right? I agree.
Because when I saw it, I was like, oh man, what is going on with that guy's costume?
Right.
It's going to be rough.
Yeah, no, it sounds like it's going to be a good time. And that's what I was going to say earlier. We were talking about Key and Peele. Mm-hmm. Over the weekend, I pulled up the Shudder app because I changed my my subscription from the anime app to the Shudder app. And they have a section on there that's like stuff that's leaving soon. And there was a movie on there that grabbed my eye that's called Hell Baby. Yeah, okay. It's written by Thomas Lennon, who you may remember from Reno 911. He was in that. He was also in a sketch comedy group called The State in the early 90s on MTV. It stars Rob Corddry.
Maybe if I saw him, what was his name?
Thomas Lennon.
The State rings a bell.
Yeah. No, The State was a blast on MTV, like back in the mid 90s. There was some funny stuff on that.
That's when I was like, I'm going to be a sketch comedy guy.
But the way the movie works out is Rob Corddry plays this husband of a wife who is pregnant, and they buy this house in New Orleans that they don't know is called the House of Blood. So you can see where this is going.
Mm-hmm.
And,
oh yeah, that guy.
Inevitably she gets possessed by a demon from the house, and then gives birth to a demon baby.
Nice.
That they have to take care of.
It's a little horror comedy.
It's a horror comedy, much in the vein of like Shaun of the Dead or something like that. Like I said, it's got any of those guys from The State or Reno 911. Like when one of them shows up, there's always two or three more. So like Michael Ian Black is in this movie. Robert Ben Garant, both, and Keegan Michael Key plays their neighbor that also lives in the crawl space and is hilarious. It has some of the best comedic timing I have seen in a long time.
Oh man.
There's an amazing scene where like Rob Corddry, Keegan Michael Key, when they first meet him, comes through the window of the front window, and the couple's like, "What are you doing?" And he's just like this charming neighbor, this New Orleans guy.
Clarissa Explains It All. When Sam would come over, he just climbs up the ladder and in through the window.
Yep. So they have this thing, and Rob Corddry turns around, and all these boxes that they had moved in that were all over the place are all stacked like the books in Ghostbusters.
Okay.
And there's this moment of just silence, and then he goes, "What the
fuck? Come on!"
And it's amazing. If you have Shudder, or you have you can go on Amazon Prime, I think, and find this movie. Worth seeing. I was not
leaving soon, though. You said so.
Leaving Shudder soon. Yeah. So you may have to actually rent it on Amazon Prime.
That's cool. I didn't realize Shudder had like the horror comedy type.
It does.
Films. I figured it was gonna be strictly horror.
No.
You are here to watch movies and make you crap your pants because you were so terrified.
Yeah. Oh,
but also
trust
you can pee your pants by laughing.
Yeah. No, there's a lot of really scary things in there that I found, but
I could not personally be less interested in that app.
Right. Lastly, as far as stuff that's on the theater, they released the promotional posters for Avengers Endgame because we're about a month away. One set of posters are all in full color, and it says Avenge the Fallen, I think, and then the other set are all in black and white, and the black and white ones are all the people that Thanos dusted. And the real and the real revelation in that is that Shuri, which is Black Panther's little sister, is one of the posters that's in black and white, meaning that off camera she got killed by Thanos. And one of the posters that's in color, that's another character you did not see in Infinity War, is from Thor Ragnarok, the Valkyrie.
Oh, okay.
So
I can't remember her name, but yeah.
Hopefully that means she'll show up in this one, because she was a lot of fun in Thor Ragnarok.
Yeah, she's sweet.
Yeah. That's good. Yeah, I'm supposed to see, I've got plans to see Captain Marvel on Monday, I think. So
yeah,
I really wanted to get caught up. I wanted to see Avengers Endgame in theaters.
Yeah, for sure. So they're saying it's going to be over 3 hours too.
Yeah, 3 hours and 2 minutes.
Yep.
Which I'm not crazy about that.
Which I'm sure
whatever.
It's going to be like 10 minutes of credits or whatever.
Right. Yeah.
Credits are always like 10 minutes long.
Yeah,
they are now because so many people go into making them. I mean, it's insane.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's amazing that like the amount of people that work on the CGI side of it,
yeah,
like quadruples the actual cast of the movie when you look at the credits for something.
Yeah, you worried about the 3-hour runtime? I'm not sweating
that. I'm just not crazy about a movie that long. I get bored after a while.
Yeah.
So I feel I'm like sure it'll be fine. I think the first time I saw it, I will not. I mean, without having seen it, I can tell you right now, I'm not going to go back to the theaters again. Mm-hmm. You know, like you and I saw Infinity War, and I walked out like, wow, like I was riveted, and I could see that again. I didn't, but this one I know, like, I think I'll be able to get through the first time. I think it'll be just as, like, you know, like you're glued to it, and it'll, right. and it'll go by, but... A rewatch is going to be rough because
a
3-hour movie, man, it kind of drives me crazy.
At home on the TV, so when it starts to dip, you can do something else.
I don't even like a 2.5-hour movie. I like 2 hours, 90 minutes to 2 hours.
How'd you feel about the Lord of the Rings movies? Because that's the way I look at it.
Yeah,
like,
that's the same thing.
I sat through Lord of the Rings movies. I'll be fine.
At home, when I can shut it off and go do something else if I want to. And even at that, man, like I've got, you know me, I'm a completionist.
That's
true. So the fact that the special editions exist, those are the versions that I own.
That's true.
Because I can't buy the ones with less movie.
Yeah.
And I never watch them because they're too goddamn long.
You bought them. You spent the money on them.
Let's not analyze this too closely.
I spent the extra cash for the extra footage.
For the extra footage I will never see.
You can keep your extra footage.
I laughed so hard my headphones fell off.
Yes, you did.
All right.
Never said it was going to make sense.
Let's take a breather. I'm going to get a drink of water here, and we'll come back. Like I said, some comic book stuff going on and some video game announcements to look forward to coming up next on Nerd Radio.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
The name's Newcomb, Duke Newcomb. You know I've got balls of steel. I wouldn't be saying that unless I was here on Nerd Radio, because they've got balls of steel, too. Hail to the Nerd Radio, baby.
All right, welcome back. It's Nerd Radio on the podcast page at WRF.com, as well as, what is it,
Alt929Boston.com.
Thank you, Al. And, of course, wherever you get your podcast. James and Al hanging out with Chuck being here on the Nerd Radio podcast. Let's talk some video games.
Did we mention bpodstudios.com?
We did not.
Where you can also
now.
Find Talking Rock with Meltdown, which you guested on along with us
this week,
Rock
Meltdown.
News segment.
Yeah, Meltdown had me in just to talk a little bit of rock.
Yeah. Oh, there you go.
That was fun.
A little cross promotion there. The Dave Mustaine episode. Chuck Bean joined Meltdown and I.
Yeah, for sure. And I don't know what else to say about it.
That's it. Just figured I'd promote it.
All right, fair enough.
bpodstudios.com.
You should say check it out because it's a killer interview.
Check it out.
And discussion.
It's a killer interview and discussion.
Of rock stuff.
Of rock stuff.
Meltdown, let me talk for 45 seconds.
Let's talk some video games, guys.
Sure.
This weekend is PAX East. And up until, I want to say this morning, the rumor was, I think we talked about this last week or the week before, that Gearbox is either going to be announcing a new BioShock or new Borderlands. Well, this morning they released a trailer or an announcement preview.
Sure.
That's like it's all these CGI'd characters, and so they look very Borderlands. And then when it zooms out, all the characters make the mask of the bandit from Borderlands.
Oh.
So it's by the time you at home are hearing this, Borderlands 3 should be confirmed.
Cool. I thought you were going to tell me they switched it up, and now they have BioLands coming out.
I don't know. That's the only question I have after watching that announcement is Borderlands 3, perhaps going to be the Borderlands type of game we're used to, or is it going to be like a lot of games we've seen in the last couple years where it's like, now it's a Battle Royale game.
Oh my God, I hope it's not another Battle Royale game.
Now it's completely free, and it's Apex Legends, except in Borderlands.
Except you got to spend $25 to be good.
Right.
Well, I mean, I would be out if that was the case. I'll tell you that right now.
Yeah, because you don't...
I mean, I'm not that much into gaming to begin with, but I mean, I kind of fell off Borderlands already.
Right.
You know, I didn't get the pre-sequel. I did get Borderlands 2.
Yeah.
And I played it for a little while and had a good time, but I mean, it didn't suck me in like the first one did.
I enjoy that Borderlands is not player versus player.
Yeah.
It is very much player versus environment.
Yeah.
Those are my favorite type of playing games with other people. Whether it's online or on the couch, is like, hey, it's me and you against the computer.
I like to have the option. I don't mind playing against other players, but I do like to play a game where I can, if I'm in the mood, I can get my butt kicked by 13-year-old kids in Korea.
Sure.
Or I can just play against the computer and have some mediocre success.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So.
Yeah.
Speaking of playing against the computer, James, you kind of tuned me into this with your tweet. They're making a Streets of Rage 3?
Yes.
How cool is that?
Is it 3 or is it 4?
I'm sorry. It's 4. You're right. Because Streets of Rage 3 was actually on the Genesis.
Yeah, it looks 4. Sweet, doesn't it?
It does.
Like, they nailed it. I love seeing when they take like an old school console game and then they bump it up to the modern day graphics, but it's still like a cool side scroller.
Yep.
And it looks like from the preview that I've seen, it looks like they stay true to the game. Like, the music seems like it's
the music
very
seems
similar.
Very similar. The art style is a little bit different.
Yeah, but the movements and the fighting, it all looks like Streets of Rage, like back in junior high, drinking Mountain Dews and eating Doritos and just playing video games in the basement.
I'm gonna have to add that to my list now that I've got that that Sega Genesis collection on the Switch. I need to play those Streets of Rage games again leading up to this.
Absolutely, that was one of them that I wanted to make sure was on there when you showed me that the Streets of Rage. I think
they had all three of them.
Is it all three? Because at least I know the first two were on there. But yeah, I'm excited to play Streets of Rage 4.
Yeah,
I don't know when it's coming out. I don't know anything other than here is a teaser trailer.
Exactly.
They're like, you sons of bitches. I need more information.
Yeah. Like I said, with PAX East being this weekend, hopefully we'll get some clarification on a lot of this stuff. Right now, it's just like, hey, we're working on this.
Yeah, because I didn't think there's, I guess so there's games that are coming out that are similar to that. But the last game that I've actually had interest in that's kind of like the side scroller, similar to Streets of Rage, is the Jane Silent Bob game that I helped fund.
Oh, okay.
It's still being made.
Oh, that's cool.
With the way things
are going.
I was going
to say, I never heard of it.
Yeah, so it looks just
so
like...
they're still doing it.
Yeah, it's like the Teenage Mutant Turtles arcade game.
Right.
Streets of Rage, just that style game, but the main characters are Jane Silent Bob. I couldn't tell you anything other than that.
It's funny because I was about to say I miss those type of games, but really, there's one or two of those games almost every year.
Yeah, every so often they come out. Yeah, exactly. And, but I think, to me, I'm excited to see a game from my youth that
I went to the arcade in Ann Arbor, Pinball Pete's.
Oh, man, I haven't been to Pinball Pete's in a long time.
Around this time last year, and they had a new Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles game based on the current cartoon, but it was a side-scrolling beat-em-up.
Really?
Yeah, and I was floored. I was like, nobody told me this existed. Yeah. Oh, my God.
They still make these things? Wow.
Right. But it was a dollar to play, so like I played it once. And I was like, I can't just shovel dollars into this thing.
Like, ooh, dollar coins, huh?
That's
Pinball Pete, huh? Pinball's a quarter, but...
another game that was announced at the Game Developers Conference in San Francisco that's going to be coming out after 15 years, there's going to be a sequel to the Vampire the Masquerade Bloodlines game that was a PC game that was kind of a first-person role-playing game. Think Fallout or even Borderlands to some degree, where you had a character sheet that you got experience points doing quests and putting dots in your vampire to make him more powerful.
Wasn't there something crazy about this game when it came out?
The original Vampire the Masquerade, you got to choose out of the five or six clans, and then you, like I said, you had to put dots in it and stuff like that. It was definitely kind of dark.
I thought there was some weird controversy when that game came out, but I can't recall. I could be wrong. I've never even heard of it,
so I'm no help here.
Okay. I've only heard of it because I know my roommate had talked about it.
What was it called?
At the time.
Vampire the Masquerade Bloodlines. Controversy. Now we're racing to see who can look it up first.
Who can type the fastest?
But it's based off the White Wolf Vampire the Masquerade tabletop role-playing game, which I played a bit of back in the day, so I'm definitely looking forward to that. And it made me realize I never actually finished the original Bloodlines. Like, I have it on Steam for my computer, so that's another one of those, like, well, I should probably beat this game before the new one comes out.
It'd be funny if the new one comes out and they're like, what was the password you were given at the very end of the last game?
Right,
and
you're like,
otherwise,
oh,
you cannot continue. You're like, no!
Well, I guess I got to go back and play that.
Yeah, be like, well, let me just Google, what was the password?
Right.
Find somebody's walkthrough on YouTube.
I said a couple of weeks ago that I had to give up on Red Dead Redemption.
Yeah.
So I moved forward, and I've been playing Final Fantasy 15.
You moved forward by moving backwards.
By moving backwards. I just picking the next game in the stack and playing that. It's weird. It doesn't feel like a Final Fantasy game, and I think that's because I'm so lapsed in, like, how long it's been since I played one.
What was the last one you played?
9?
I thought I was going to say 7.
Or 10. 10 on the 10? PlayStation 2. But, like, I didn't play 12. I didn't play 13. You know, 14 and 11 are the MMO games, the World of Warcraft style of games. But that's what this game kind of feels like.
I didn't play either of those, but I've at least played a few minutes of most of them.
Yeah, this one.
A few minutes. I mean, a few hours. But
because you're just, you and your buddies are wandering around the desert kind of completing quests.
Yeah,
it feels a lot like a World of Warcraft type of, you know, MMO game. You're just playing by yourself.
In which one now?
Final Fantasy 15.
15?
Yeah. At first, I wasn't sure I really liked it, but I feel like the more I play it, the more I kind of fall into it. The more I'm like, okay, this is.
So you're having a good time then?
I am. Yeah. It's it's beautiful. The graphics are really, really beautiful. The motion capture is a little wonky, but it's also strange that there's like you have a car.
Yeah.
And like there's a dude with a gun and
McCloud got his driver's license.
Yes. And it's funny because it's not the first time that like there's been a vehicle of some sort, you know, in a Final Fantasy game. It's just so weird to like right off the bat, it feels like more science fiction than fantasy. Even Amy was like, I thought Final Fantasy games had like wizards and stuff in them. I'm like, well, I am using magic, but then I got a car.
Yeah.
So I don't.
It's a magic car.
Yeah.
Made by a magic man.
Right at the beginning of the game, your car runs out of gas and you have to push it to like the gas station. And the people at the gas station have a southern accent. And she's just like, what is this?
I'm sorry, but that seems like the most Japanese like storyline I feel like ever. For whatever reason, that just reeks of like the Japanese storyline video game writing. Right?
And the southern accent is just the Japanese going like, and there's an American in this.
Yes, exactly.
And I think we all talk like that.
Yeah, exactly.
Interesting.
Yeah, so, like I said, it's strange because you get quests and then you kind of wander out into the wilderness and fight some monsters and then you come back with items or something like that like you would in a World of Warcraft game. But like the gas station also has a diner off the side. So you have to, you can buy food, which will increase your stats for the day. And then you can set up camp and one of the guys in your party will cook food as long as you have the materials to make it.
Okay.
And like I said, different food gives you different bonuses.
Yeah.
It's not like Red Dead Redemption where it's like, feed your guy.
Yeah, that's actually an aspect of the game that is driving me crazy.
Makes it too real.
It's another thing to keep track of, and it's...
Yeah.
It's not like it really takes much. You get enough money just from looting people to buy a can of peaches if you need to.
Right.
And it takes just a quick second to feed the guy. You just have to remember peaches to do it.
Yeah.
So every time I happen to look at the stats or whatever, I'm going to eat a lot of peaches.
That was for Kevin.
Whenever I check the status of my guy, he's always underweight.
And, yeah.
That's right, because I never remember it.
You have to worry about your weight in the game?
Makes me want to go back and play it just to make sure I'm eating like every couple of minutes, just to see if I can make him overweight.
Oh, yeah, see if he gets fat.
Yeah, graphically, he gets fat.
You guys know you should eat 5 small meals throughout the entire day, okay?
Poor horse can't hold him up anymore.
You got to get a larger horse.
Yeah, got to get client style.
Yeah, the eating and stuff, that's one of the things that kind of turned me off on the Fallout 76. Well, mostly because I couldn't find anything to eat, so I was dying no matter what happened until the server glitched and I had to redo a quest. But some of that stuff, like, maybe don't make it so realistic.
Yeah, right. So in-depth. Like, you got to clean your weapons in Red Dead Redemption.
Yeah,
like, you know, you got to remember to do all that stuff.
That's what I said when I got mad about Red Dead Redemption. Ghoul said, go back and play the first one. And he was right. It's night and day, man. Like, I don't have to worry about my horse running into stuff. I don't have to worry about feeding my dude or cleaning my guns. When I pull the trigger, he fires a gun.
Dude, I don't even clean my house.
What does clean your gun?
Me to clean my imaginary virtual gun?
Yeah. I mean, now, don't get me wrong. I'm still having a good time with Red Dead Redemption 2, but it didn't grab me like the first one did.
Yeah.
And like
I'll say this, the story is phenomenal.
It's a great story, and it looks great, and, you know, it is what it is. Some of the extra stuff that I don't need, whatever. But
yeah. Especially wish I could turn it off.
You were just talking about Final Fantasy 15, and I keep thinking about that game. Because I bought it when I knew I didn't have time to play it, because I was at the store, and it was there for like $5 or whatever. I was like, oh, I know I want it eventually, so it's so cheap, let me grab it now. But I think about it sometimes. I'm like, man, I should pop in Final Fantasy 15. I'm sort of playing Red Dead Redemption right now. If I don't finish that, I'll never come back to it.
Okay, so here's the thing, and this might completely quash your need to play Final Fantasy 15.
Okay.
Early in the game, your character is the prince to a king on a road trip before he gets married to this princess.
Okay. So it's like your bachelor tour?
Yeah, exactly. It's kind of like your bachelor party. While you're out doing quests and having your bachelor party, something like that, you fall asleep one night and then you wake up and the kingdom that you come from has been invaded and your dad is a dead, as far as everyone knows.
Okay.
And you are pronounced dead as well as the princess that you were supposed to be marrying. So nobody knows you still are alive. And that's kind of the thrust of the game so far from what I've played. There's a scene that shows you the big battle that goes on at the thing in the kingdom when it gets taken over. From what I understand, that scene is directly from a theatrical movie they made as a companion piece to this. So you don't actually get to see it happen. You just get to see clips of it. But if you want to see the whole thing, you can go rent this movie.
Oh, I have to go see a movie to play the game?
If you want to see the whole thing.
Oh, son of a... I knew this is exactly why you...
Right, no.
You dropped this in my lap.
Right, and then there's a...
another thing! I got to do another thing!
Right, there's a mobile game that I think ties into it somewhat.
Oh, man.
And there's a couple of different things going on. So it's one of those things where if you really like the game, then here's a whole bunch of extra content.
But do you have to watch
In order to understand the movie, you have to beat the mobile game.
Right.
Oh, son of a...
I just made that up in case anybody's listening. It's like, oh, my God.
Just getting the clips of the thing and then being like...
I know you were just talking out of your ass, James, and it still affected
irks
me.
You, huh? You're like, what? I got to download the app, and I got to play the game on my phone.
Yeah.
And then I got to watch the movie. And then I got to play the actual game.
It's a lot.
Yeah.
I'm hoping maybe by the end of it, I'll be so engrossed in the story and the game that I'll want to actually go see the movie and want to try out the mobile game. But as it stands right now, I'm like, but how much of the content can I get by just playing the game on the disc?
Yeah.
Like, not even the downloadable content. Just the
what
game.
I paid for.
I want to play the game and try and get a full experience there. All right, I said I had a couple of comic book things to hit, and we'll do that real quick right now. First of all, Al, I got comics for you.
Hey!
There you go. It's a new week for Shazam, and the thing I wanted to talk about is it is the week of Detective Comics 1000. They did it with Action Comics last year. Now it's Detective Comics, which is the Batman book. It's a big old $9.99 book. It's got 10 different covers.
Well, it's such an anniversary. I don't mind that at all.
Right. The regular cover is a Jim Lee wraparound cover, which is pretty great.
Yeah.
You've got a whole bunch of great stories. Tom King does a story in there. He's the current Batman writer.
Sure.
There's a story by Paul Dini. Kevin Smith does a story that's drawn by Jim Lee.
Oh, is it Kevin Smith story in here?
Kevin Smith story.
Mm, got my attention.
Detective 1000. I can't remember who does the first story, but Brian Michael Bendis has a story in there.
Oh, does he? Okay.
Warren Ellis has a story in there. Lots of writers that I'm a big fan of writing Batman in this, so I don't feel too bad either about spending the $9.99 on
it. Yeah, it's the 1,000th issue. I mean, it's pretty groundbreaking.
Right. That's the thing that's weird, too, is they did Action and they did Detective, and now that's it. Like, there's not another... I can't even imagine what the next comic would be that would come even close to that.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure what it would be either. I mean, this is one of the things that I hate about all the renumbering shakeups and all that stuff is that book, and I think Action as well, never got renumbered until the New 52.
Right.
You know, and it's like, you just make a mess of it all. And then when it suits you, you want to go back and like, oh, no, it's the 1,000th issue.
Well, when they did the New 52 Detective, and then they're like, well, we did it so we can get to Detective 27 again, because the original 27 is the one where Batman shows up.
I don't know. You know how I am. I like order.
Right.
You know, I like it. If you want to renumber it, I feel like it should have a volume, you know, volume two, number one or whatever. Like, I get it. But, no, that's cool. But, yeah, no, I mean, and like you said, those two big ones right there and, you know, two of the most famous, well-known superheroes, you know.
Right.
Old school. Came out a year apart from each other.
Yeah, absolutely.
Do we see the bad dog in this one again?
No, there's no bad dog in this particular one.
No.
And the other
with Kevin Smith, maybe he'd sneak that in there. Or something,
right.
You know?
Kevin Smith did write a Batman book where he talked about actually accidentally peeing in his bat suit once because he was standing too close to an explosion.
Oh, really?
Yeah. No, I think Janelle actually loaned me that particular comic because Kevin Smith was going to do a trilogy of miniseries for Batman, and he did the first two, and then has never finished it.
What the heck, Kevin?
Yeah, I don't...
Don't blame that on the heart attack.
Yeah, no, he's busy doing Jay and Silent Bob. He doesn't have a real good track record in comic books.
No?
Because he did a series of Daredevil, which was real good, but late. And then he was going to do a series about Bullseye, where the Al-Qaeda hires Bullseye to take out the president or something like that. And he got one issue out, and then we never saw the rest of the series whatsoever.
Oh, okay, then. Wow.
So Kevin,
no wonder I'm waiting so long on my Jay and Silent Bob video game.
Yeah,
I would have to try backed it on GoFundMe or whatever.
You know, all I could think when you mentioned the Jay and Silent Bob video game is whether or not they would somehow work in the gag from the animated series, the rope gag. Did you guys ever see the cartoon version of Jay and Silent Bob?
The rope gag.
No, I mean I remember seeing it, but I never actually sat down and watched.
They did. It was such a stupid joke, but they did it every single episode, which was eight, something like that.
Yeah, it wasn't very long.
Well, you know, like the Batman,
where they climb
from the 60s, where they climb the building, and it's clearly just a camera sideways, and they're, you know, whatever. And they would do that, and it would be like, and they would look like they're going up, and then a potted plant would fall from off camera, and then the camera would turn, and they're actually standing up. And they did it in every single episode. It was such a...
Wait, this was animated?
Yeah, it was the animated Jay and Silent Bob show.
I find that hilarious. Yeah. Because it's an animation. That's why...
Such a right. stupid joke every single episode. Every one of them.
Well, I did want to update you, Al, about my current Jonathan Hickman X-Men controversy.
Yeah.
So C2E2 was in Chicago last week, and Marvel announced that Jonathan Hickman will be working on two X-Men titles that are part of an event going on called House of X and Powers of X. So he's not taking over Uncanny X-Men, as far as we know, but they are going to do specific X-Men titles that Jonathan Hickman will be writing. So
sounds like a place to go to do ecstasy.
I somehow feel a little bit better about that because I really like the team that's on Uncanny X-Men right now, and I don't right. want it. I don't want you to pull the rug out from under them before they can really get rolling. But it's all supposed to start in July, so we'll see. We'll see. I'll give him a chance. Did you give Grant Morrison a chance in Green Lantern?
I have been giving him a chance. And you know what? The first issue I was not crazy about. Then there was another one that actually had an interesting concept, which made me feel a little bit better. But again, he's hurt me like that before, so.
Show me on the doll.
He's hurt me like this before.
Show me on the doll where Grant Morrison hurt you, Al.
Right here. Oh.
All right. Well, let's get Kyle in here.
Not bathing suit parts.
No!
Oh, no!
Let's get Kyle in here. We'll talk some Magic the Gathering, and we'll check in with you again next week, Al.
All right, Chuck.
Take care.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
This is Nerd Radio.
Okay, magic cards, go.
Magic cards, they're pieces of cardboard. And you play them on the ground, and people play cards against you. And first one to go down to 20 wins from 20.
All right, thanks for listening to Nerd Radio, and we out.
That's all we got.
All right, welcome back to some more Nerd Radio right here on the podcast page at WRIF.com. Wherever you get your podcast as part of the B-Pod Studios Network and on our social media, Nerd Radio 101. Kyle, welcome back to the show.
Thank you for having me again.
Hanging out with you, and James is hanging out with us as well. Usually we have Kyle in, it's to talk about one of two things, Overwatch or Magic the Gathering.
I thought we played some board games.
We did play some games, and actually I've got a game that I wanted to tell you about later on, but... You told me you got some stuff you wanted to hit on the show here, so hit me up.
So,
what's going on?
Cool things are happening to Magic. They are releasing... So I don't know how much Magic you actually play, Chuck.
I tell you what, I play a whole
games, but
I play a whole lot more of it on the computer now.
On Arena.
Now that they've got Magic the Gathering Arena.
Oh, yeah.
And I play no Magic whatsoever.
And hey,
there you go.
It's not for everyone, and it's sometimes...
I was into the Magic game for a while, I know a little bit about what you guys are talking about, but I was never big into it.
For sure.
But they're doing something huge for the next set, and that is... do you know what a Planeswalker is?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So... the next set, War of the Spark, little Transformers reference for you.
I'm in.
Is going to feature 36 Planeswalkers in one set.
That's a lot.
That is
a lot.
How
many do they typically put in a set?
Two or three.
Okay. And for our listeners at home and James that haven't, you know, either haven't ever played Magic the Gathering or haven't played it in a while, Planeswalkers are cards that essentially you put down. They're like a creature, but they have one number on them. And once per turn, you can do one of three abilities on them. Those abilities will either increase or decrease that number. And your opponent's creatures can choose to attack the Planeswalker instead of you. So they usually have abilities that are kind of broken. And you want to get that thing off the table as fast as possible.
Okay.
Because it's doing something really cool for them as long as it's down here.
Okay.
But 36.
Yeah, 36.
Jesus.
And the kicker is there's going to be one in every pack.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
So there's gonna be going to be common garbage Planeswalkers.
I have no idea, but it's going to be nuts.
That is crazy. So everyone's going to be playing Planeswalkers.
Probably.
As far as this next set goes. Now, I like I said, I play a lot of it on Arena, and I see a couple of Planeswalkers in there. You can only have one out at a time, right?
No. So you can have all... Planeswalkers out at any given
all
time.
All 36?
And you can have all 36 if you somehow get to
mana,
that point.
They have enough mana
but
to
if
tap.
You, if right. you have worked your butt off to get all these planeswalkers out. You can, you know, and most of decks like that are called Super Friends decks.
Right.
So
rightfully so.
But yeah, it's kind of interesting, and it has to do with the story that is going on in the game right now, which is really cool. You have a evil dragon overlord that's trying to attract all of his minions and all of the heroes to this one plane called Ravnica, and you and people are speculating that something bad is going to happen, and everybody's going to get their spark taken away, which means they just turn into normal people. They don't really have powers,
right?
So
I'll tell you this: when Jefferson was on the show and we used to talk about Magic all the time, he was super into the lore and the story of the game. I am not.
Yeah, it can be convoluted.
Absolutely, I'm like, it's a card game, man. And yeah, there's story going on in the background or something like that. But at the end of the day, I'm here to play this game.
Yeah, I'm here to put some swamp man down and tap it so I can get my swamp beast to attack.
Right,
you.
So I can make these undead creatures just smack you in the face.
Yeah. The only thing I know about the game is you got to put mana down and tap it for your creatures to attack. So that's why I've referenced it twice.
So what is the set called?
So it's called War of the Spark.
And when is it out?
It comes out May 3rd.
Okay.
And it's just super exciting. You know, it's going to kind of... There's a lot of mystery surrounding it because there is 36 Planeswalkers. So we don't know exactly...
They haven't revealed any of them. Well, no. And they're still almost, you know, a month and a half away. So
they did, however, reveal... A little short, they always do like a small little teaser trailer for each set that comes out.
Okay.
And this one featured a Ravnican tower with 36 stained glass windows with each planeswalker that's going to be in the set.
Oh.
And then they actually
went on the...
So people
can speculate based on those stained glass windows?
Correct. And on the Mothership, the Wizards Magic website, they posted pictures. Here's all the walkers that are going to be in the set.
Right.
And there's 36... The same 36 images, but in a more and better resolution, so you can see them. And it was like, wow, everybody's here to play bad or good. So it's really cool.
Nice.
And I'm excited. Hopefully it changes things up. And
They did release, Wizards released a second set of Transformers cards. Last time you were in, we tried the Transformers games. The new set of Transformers cards, Combiners. Because you saw like the cards that the Transformers themselves are like double sized.
Yeah.
The Combiner cards, are cards that are regular sized, and you can flip them over for, you know, like the car mode or the thing, and then you can unfold them to be one of the parts of like Devastator or, you know, whatever. They did all the different combiners, like the Aerial Bots and the Combaticons and stuff like that.
That's really cool.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's definitely, it changes the game quite a bit.
Oh, I believe it.
I'm glad
to see that it's doing good and that they're really trying.
Yeah, for sure.
That always makes me.
But yeah, as I said earlier, like I've been playing a bunch of Magic Arena because I like that I can just play it whenever, just like any game online. Like you can just find an opponent and you just play, and that's cool. I like that it has the quests that don't require like an Overwatch. You have to win 9 games in order to get your loot boxes. Like this, I just have to like play 20 lands.
You can
summon 20 either white or red creatures. Like, all right, cool. That's my favorite kind of like.
And you get all the bonus packs and everything.
Keeps me coming back.
You get decks every week. It's awesome. So they've really done a good job with Arena too. And I've also been playing a heck of a lot. We need to face off one of these days.
We do. That if there's a couple of problems with Arena. One of the problems is definitely that like there's no friends list. You can't just somebody's online
so
and challenge
paired them. Up randomly?
Like I have to. Yeah, you paired up randomly. Or
that should have been the first thing they figured out was how
you
to play
can direct
friends.
Challenge somebody, but you have to, you know, like I have to find out through text, like what's your identification number so I can challenge you directly.
Gotcha.
It's definitely a work in progress, but the game's doing well.
Right.
So with the Arena, do you have to like go in and buy like to get a starter deck? They got to pay for the...
Nope. When you first boot the game up, it teaches you how to play, and then it gives you 5 starters of the 5 major colors. And then the next couple of games you play, it'll give you starters of every combination of those colors.
Yeah.
Okay. And then you can take all those cards and you can make your own decks out of those cards, or you can just keep playing those decks, which is what I've done, because deck building is my weakest thing.
That they're taking like...
You win packs, you can win special cards, stuff like that. So, and you get gold every time you complete or win games and stuff.
If you want those missions,
and you can 1,000 gold is one booster pack, so you can buy whichever one you want.
Or you can just throw money at it and buy stuff.
Yeah,
man, I could get back into the Magic the Gathering game if there's a digital way to where I know the rules are being followed.
Mm-hmm. It's only on the PC right now, but Hearthstone's on the phone, so I'm sure it's only a matter of time before they make an app.
I think they're working on bringing it to PS4 and Xbox One too.
Yeah, that would make a lot of sense.
It's just crazy to me that you take a game that you usually have to have a tangible item, a certain particular card. I have to have this in my deck, and now it's a digital thing that you just end up randomly getting. That's blowing my mind.
That's one of the things that's really fun about the game too, is that when you open a pack, you get this this clear card that's either a common, an uncommon, or a rare. So when you're building your deck, if you're missing a card, you can use one of these and turn it into the card you need.
You can craft it.
Once you craft it, it's that card forever. Mm-hmm. But the fact that I have these spare cards over here, it's like, crap, I need one more of this.
You can craft into something.
Whoop.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to make, instead of trying to get it out of a pack.
That's cool. Well, I might have to look into that. I'm glad I was here for this conversation.
Yeah, for sure.
And then, another cool thing is, so I play a lot of Magic in paper and on Arena, but a cool thing I found out is a couple weeks ago, I sold my Modern deck, see you later, got a camera.
Yeah.
Absolutely best decision I could do right now for me. But I found out there's another cool Magic format that features only commons. You can only play common cards.
That sounds awesome.
It's called Pauper.
Okay.
And it's super fun to watch. You just have the most common cards in the game, and you're just building.
And you can
deck.
Still make combos, but you're not going to make those combos that murder a guy on turn three.
Well, a couple months ago, there was a Storm deck where you lost on turn one.
Ah!
Considerably. It's nuts, but it's funny because I've been at home the last couple of days sifting through all my cards, and I've found so many junk cards that are actually worth a lot of money. So,
really?
Yeah.
Look at you.
Because of this format. There's a bunch of comments that
I
suddenly
found a bunch of snow-covered islands. I'm not even kidding you. They're $3 a piece.
Wow.
And I'm like, why? But that's because people buy them and use them.
Specifically for this.
Yep. So there you go. But that's something that I'm getting into, I'm gonna eventually build a couple decks, but
that's
become a lot popular. There's actually someone who just qualified playing Pauper.
So it's a format that they use for the Pro Tours too.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So speaking of Magic, I think Magic Fest LA or Las Vegas just happened last weekend, and I think his name is Max Harani. He qualified for the Pro Tour by playing Pauper.
Huh. Well, so, I mean, somebody would have qualified, right?
Yeah.
But
his deck is not even $100.
That's amazing.
And someone was playing Modern, and those decks are a grand or more.
Right.
And you're like, okay, cool. So it's just kind of cool.
Well, while we're talking about actually making a little bit of money on cards, I brought a little show and tell for you, okay? So I used to work at a card store. Mm-hmm. In the years of 2000 and 2007, okay? And during that time, a company called Comic Images made a game based off WWE wrestling as a card game.
I remember this.
Called WWE Raw.
I remember this.
I brought some cards in for you guys to check out.
Oh, wow.
I was a huge advocate at my store about this. I bought a ton of these cards.
You have them in sleeves.
Oh, yeah. I used to run tournaments and the whole nine yards, and it was a fantastic, fun game. So about a month ago, some of the guys that I used to play at the card store with hit me up on Facebook, and there's a local card store that they go to, and they're like, hey, you still have your Raw deal cards? We should get together and play sometime. Like, yeah, that'd be fun. Okay, whatever. So I go through, and I've been sitting on these cards for, almost a decade at least, and not even thought about them. So I look it through my collection of cards, and I find my decks, and we go and we play. And I'm thinking, why do I have all these cards and I'm not using them? Like, I wonder if I could get rid of them or something like that. I have made almost $1,000
in the last couple
of weeks selling off old Raw deal cards. There are cards that used to be $30 that are now $130.
That's a market for that.
Oh my God, I had no idea. And the thing that's really fascinating is there was a forum back in the day that we would all go on. You could post your deck, you could talk about how does this card work with this card, rules and stuff like that. It was called Team Canada Online. A lot of the Raw deal players all still go to Team Canada Online and talk about that, and they have taken upon themselves, now that the game no longer exists, to continue to create new cards for this game.
Oh, wow.
To try and balance it out, to make sure, because there were, like any card game, there's what they call negative player experiences. There's decks where you lose on turn one if I get the right hand kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So they have continued to create cards and create superstars that are currently wrestling, like Asuka and Finn Balor and Sami Zayn, and create, you know, cards for those guys so that you can play those guys, and cards so that you can balance out some of those negative player experiences.
That's really cool.
It's fascinating.
That's crazy.
That there is still a WWE Raw deal community.
And you would think that after doing this, that some company, they could approach some company and be like, hey, we have this idea.
Right.
Along with these things. And, you know,
All you have to do is get the license from WWE
there's your challenge.
Comic
right there.
Images to do this all over again.
Get permission from the WWE.
Yeah.
If it makes money, they could be in it.
Yeah, but I feel like the amount of money that they're going to want for the licensing,
for sure.
You'll never make that money.
Yeah, there were some stories back when I used to play the game. There were some stories about like how WWE would only give them certain pictures of certain superstars to put on the cards, because otherwise they didn't want it to be, you know, like, oh, well, that's a super good picture. We can't give you that one. But we can't give you this picture of, you know, Chris Jericho, but we can give you this picture of Steve Blackman.
Yeah.
It's so weird how
this is
that
a blast
is.
In the past, man. I remember when this came out.
Yeah.
Because I was really into wrestling. I think they even had commercials during the shows.
Yeah, maybe.
And we were like, who would buy these? Well, I know the answer.
That was
Chuck,
me.
Chuck Bean.
I bought a ton of them.
Chuck Bean was buying them.
Yeah, so I'm. It got me back in the card store. I've been to the card store 3 or 4 times in the last month or so just to sit down and play Raw Deal with some old pals.
That's funny.
Hey, I'm
sure the card store is not pleased about it because I'm really not buying anything.
Yeah. Like, he's just in here breathing our air.
Right.
But it makes me wonder some of the Magic the Gathering cards that I gave away to my boss's kid when I was at the grocery store, if they were worth anything.
You know, funny story about that. So I remember, I have a really good photographic memory, and I just remember some of the older cards that I used to have back when I was about 11. And there's one card called Cabal Coffers.
Okay.
And
it sounds like a sex move.
Right?
Right in the Cabal Coffers.
Yeah.
And basically, it's a land that for however many swamps you have, you double your mana. So it's a broken card, especially in the format, some of the formats that I play. But it used to be $200 card. It's kind of leveled out because I think it did see a reprint a couple of years ago.
Right. Well, and as they change formats, like they work stuff out of the format.
Correct.
So it's stuff that's really powerful right now, like a year from now, you can't even play.
Exactly. And the set that it was in is really, it's a powerful set. But that's when Magic was old school. It didn't start changing until around 2006, until we see the modern age of Magic. But
right.
I'm pretty sure I had one of these cards and I gave it away. And when I found out that they were almost $300, I was like, I had that.
Yeah.
Did you call the guy that you gave it to?
No, I was, okay, I was 11.
You still have the Cabal Coffer thing? I need the Cabal Coffer if you remember. I gave it to you. Oh, you gave it away to Goodwill. Great.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, okay. Yeah.
All right.
And that's what happens to a lot of cards.
Oh, trust me. I had a conversation. Oh, no. I had a conversation with somebody about Raw Deal cards. They're like, "You remember when I gave you my collection?" I'm like, "Vaguely, I don't know." He's like, "Yeah, can I get such and such back?" And I'm like,
"I don't have that.
I don't know where it went."
You're like, "First of all, no, and second of all, no, sorry, you gave it away." But like, literally, when I gave my Magic the Gathering cards away, I was like, "Dude, I'm like 18 year old. I'm a grown ass man.
I'm
not playing this kid's Magic the Gathering. What your kid plays?" Oh, you might give me a weekend off if I ask for it, if I hook your kid up with some stuff, huh? Cherry, here you go. Here's a stack like that. Well, nobody, we're on
a stack
podcast.
Of cards. Yeah.
We'll say a stack the size of a Subway foot long.
There you go.
That I just gave her to give to her son. I bet you there's some good stuff in there. I bet you there's some Cabal Coffers and some Dark Lotuses.
Maybe some dual lands in there.
Yeah, Planeswalkers.
Oof.
There's
like
actually
some OG Planeswalkers.
Yeah.
I was at my buddy's house and he had his friend Mike Magic. Literally the guy's
Mike
name,
Magic?
Mike
Magic.
Magic.
Does he dance?
No, he's a shop clerk at a grocery store.
He's Channing Tatum's lesser known cousin.
Yeah.
But he had just binders full of these old cards, and we're like looking at it, and I'm like, realize this binder's worth like a lot of money right now, right? He had foils of cards that haven't been printed in 20 years. It was nuts.
Good
like,
Lord.
Talk about blasts from the past.
So if I still had my old Magic cards, would I be able to play them against somebody like,
oh, for
today?
Sure. So there's a bunch of different formats. The biggest format is Standard, which only is the six most recent sets that are legal. So if you play Arena on like your, let's say you have your on your MacBook, you play a game of Arena, that is standard.
Okay.
All the cards in there are standard legal, whether it's in paper or on the game. Then there's Modern, which is only 8th edition to the most recent sets that you can play in Arena. Then you have Vintage and Legacy. Legacy is everything. Printed ever.
Okay. So I'll be looking for a Legacy match.
Yeah.
And then there's also Commander, where you choose a legendary creature card and you build a 99 card deck around it, which is the format I play.
I was going to say, I see you tweet about Commander all the time. Now I know what you're talking about.
So, but that's the format I play because it's easy and I have so many cards I can just use whatever. And then there's also Brawl, which is like a standard version of Commander. It's confusing. There's so many things you can do.
Now, is there like a salary cap? Because you keep saying this card's a $200 card. This card's a...
No, no, no.
So like in professional sports, there's a salary cap to your team. Can anybody just roll in with like a $3,000 deck that they got all these rare cards in and play?
Oh, yeah. I've gotten, just a couple weeks ago, I played against a deck that was the guy, I literally looked through the deck and I knew all the prices and the deck was almost $5,000.
Oh, you've been like,
we lost
decks?
On turn two. It was rather upsetting.
Yeah. That's why those cards are so expensive.
$5 to go and just not have fun.
Yeah.
So
that is what they call a negative player experience.
Correct.
I just learned that term a couple of weeks ago. That's why I keep bringing it up.
That's only negative for the guy that loses.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I used to tell guys all the time.
Because
the
guy that wins.
I used to tell guys all the time, you know what? People like you would never win. People like me didn't lose.
Silver lining right there. That's the silver lining right there.
You couldn't exist without me.
But that's true. That's what makes up like the metagame of all these different formats. And I make sure that I have people have a piece in my mind when I'm like, you shouldn't be playing that kind of crap. You know? Like I get so salty sometimes.
Shake your finger at him.
Right. How dare you?
What's funny though is a couple weeks ago, this guy destroyed us, right? And I just like scooped up my cards. I'm like, okay, well, have a good night. And I went home and I was just pissed off. And
yeah.
I went to bed and whatever. But I found out this past week, the guy got banned from the store because I guess he comes there like every other week and he's just a complete monster to people.
Okay.
And he harasses people and he just has no, he's socially awkward, I guess, which I do feel bad. I'm like, well, you shouldn't ban a guy if he just doesn't get it.
Sure. But as a store, I remember from running tournaments at a store, like you want people to feel safe coming in and playing the game.
Exactly.
So, you know,
they're bullying people.
If somebody's being a bully or somebody's being kind of a jerk, you ask them to either tone it down or go somewhere else.
Yeah. And especially with the format that I play Commander, there's a huge social dynamic to it.
Right.
So, and one of my favorite Magic players ever, Benny Smith, said, he's like, if the entire table is not having fun, you are also not having fun. I can guarantee it. And that's what I believe. So.
Yeah. Well, Kyle, thanks for coming in and talking some floppy cards.
Thanks for having me.
I like
absolutely
that floppy cards.
Yeah. We'll have to get together again in a couple of weeks, especially when this new Magic set comes out.
Oh, for sure.
To tell me some of these Planeswalkers that we can look forward to. Probably seeing in the arena game as well.
I got to try out the Magic the Gathering arena.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't know what you guys are talking about.
And funny thing is, when I open packs, I can give you promo codes.
Yeah,
for Magic the Gathering Arena cards,
card packs.
Really?
Yep. So
the email you can send those to James@davidchukthefreak.com.
Right.
Please email me your promo codes for Magic the Gathering Arena.
Mm-hmm.
Unless my employers would frown upon the statement, then just ignore that.
Just ignore that yes. happened. Yeah, that's the part did not happen in the show.
I am not trying to benefit my own online gaming experience using this podcast.
All right, we're out for another week, but we will be back next week wherever you get your podcast and all of your social media at Nerd Radio 101. Thanks for tuning in to Nerd Radio.
I'm in a difficult situation here. I mean, after all, you're nerds.
Nobody asked you, Kevin!
Have a great weekend!
Golden Radio.
I know!
See you later, nerds.
Hey, we're out!
She can tune in.
Yeah, she can tune in and hear us talk about nerd junk.
She'll be like, I already hear you talk about this when you come over to mom and dad's.
Yeah, right.
For enough of this
crap. Why do I want to toot? I didn't get an HD radio to listen to you say the same things.
Yeah. Oh, a double dose of nerdness. No, I'm okay.
Yeah.
A double dose of nerdness.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.